Hello and welcome once again to Season 5 of Naturally Educated. My name's Tim Elliott and with me is my co-host Abdulrahman Al-Zarbi. I hope all's well, Abdulrahman.
Tim, good to be here and good to be back with you once again. How are you?
Pretty good, thank you. And I'm looking forward to today's episode. This time we're going to be talking around and about what we can, we could, we should, and perhaps we will be doing when it comes to combating climate change. And I suppose, really, the best thing we can do to combat climate change is to look after what we've already got. Let's face it.
Yes, 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 and yes, Tim. This season is basically all about ecosystems, making sure they're okay. And if they're not, making sure we do what we can to restore them.
I mean, this time specifically, it's how can ecosystem restoration help combat climate change? Now, that's a huge topic. We don't have a lot of time to get into real detail. But I think it's really important that we cover it. It's something that we have to talk about. It's almost like you read the episode notes, Abdulrahman.
I guess sometimes I do, Tim. sometimes I do. All joking aside, this is serious stuff, right? I've actually really been thinking and researching this episode, you know?
Google's your friend, my friend.
Always. Actually, let me just check my phone quickly. I just want to Google climate and change. here's what I get.
Okay.
So it says, as greenhouse gas emissions blanket the earth, they trap the sun's heat. This leads to global warming and climate change.
Right.
The world is now warming faster than at any point in recorded history. Warmer temperatures over time are changing weather patterns, disrupting the usual balance of nature.
Okay.
That's what it says.
That's what Google gives you. I mean, climate change affects us all, as well as the many other forms of life on Earth. And, you know, as we continue to heat up, there's more effect. Mm-hmm.
Precisely, Tim. Honestly, though, it's this 1.2 degrees centigrade hotter than it was back in the 1800s, right? Mm. I studied this topic a little bit and, you know, before the Industrial Revolution, basically, things were sort of stable and then, you know, they weren't.
Yeah.
But, you know, 1.2 degrees doesn't seem like it's much, but when you consider changes in rainfall, more frequent or more intense extreme weather events, rising sea levels, it all adds up to impacts that threaten our health by affecting the food we eat, the water we drink, and the air we breathe, and the weather we experience. Honestly, it's something to think about, to do something about.
Well, it is, and warmer temperatures are really only the start. The Earth's a system, really, so everything's connected. So if you have changes in one area, it can influence changes in others. So the consequences of climate change now, intense droughts, water scarcity, severe fires, you said rising sea levels, flooding, melting polar ice, storms, declining biodiversity. Mm-hmm. That's why this season of Naturally Educated.
And so the question is, how can ecosystem restoration help combat climate change? It's our episode theme. So let's welcome our guest.
Let's do that. Our guest today is a data ecologist in environmental restoration and research. She was also a member of Ajman Youth Council. I'm going to ask about that as well, find out some more. Al-Yazia Al-Shihi, thank you for joining us on Naturally Educated.
Thank you, Tim. I'm happy to be here.
It's great to have you. I really want to start. There's a load I want to ask you about your background because I'm kind of fascinated by somebody who caught the green bug, if you like, somebody who understands how important sustainability is. Where did that come from? When did you know this was what you wanted to do, Alicia?
I would say I caught the green bug much earlier than a lot of people. And I like to give credit to my name, which is Ilyazia, which is basically the Arabian gazelle species. And so I think it's just tied to my identity in general, caring about the local ecosystems, biodiversity, and so on and so forth.
Tell us more about your studies. What kind of propelled you into becoming a data ecologist to begin with?
Yes. So I did my undergraduate studies in environmental sciences in the University of Leeds, my focus was atmospheric sciences as well as biodiversity management, which ties in greatly with the effects of biodiversity degradation and climate change. And I currently work in as a data ecologist specializing in environmental restoration. My work focuses on coastal ecosystems, primarily the mangroves, ecosystems that are vital to carbon storage and shoreline protection. I use environmental data to track ecosystem health and guide science-based restoration strategies. But my personal focus is developing nature-based climate solutions that are effective in vulnerable coastal ecosystems, precisely the mangroves of Bulabi.
It's interesting that, because it's almost like there are two things there. You have all of the information, the data, if you like. So you're on the front line as to exactly where we are now in terms of ecosystem health, the way things are headed. But you're also, on the other hand, and I guess this is more of a personal thing I'm kind of getting from you, it's to understand what can be done. It's the solution as well.
So the reason I'm looking at the solutions is because healthy ecosystems, especially in the context of climate change, are basically the Earth's immune system. So a compromised immune system would lead into biodiversity degradation as well as ecosystem degradation.
Not only are you collecting the data, but you're also working on the data to kind of, get some context or solution out of them, right?
Yes.
So Liazia, I read that you were part of the Ajman Youth Council. I'm personally participating in my company's youth council as well. And so I kind of connect on that as well. Yes, I look a little bit old, but I am part of the youth, believe it or not. So tell me about how you got into it. What got you into being part of the Ajman Youth Council?
So actually joining the youth councils was something I was encouraged by a very dear friend. It was not something I sought out. But then I think at the year I did apply, I had a huge advantage because it was the year of sustainability. It was when COP was happening. And so the opportunities were like wide and open. Mm-hmm. And we got to work on a lot of projects for COP28. We worked on the National Survey of Youth Environmental Awareness, as well as like bridging gaps between the policy making and sustainability development.
Wow, what an experience, I bet it was.
Oh, it was absolutely wonderful to work closely with the Emirati youth. And you'd be surprised how knowledgeable our youth are in environmental knowledge in general.
Mm-hmm. It's something that we came across earlier this year, actually. It was last year. Wow, time flies when you're having fun. In Abu Dhabi, Abdurrahman and I, we did a whole season talking to Emirati youth. And it was unbelievable, the passion for it and the interest in it. And I think, Aliasia, the understanding that, you know, we need to take care of what we've got now. We need to be looking after ecosystems. That really came through.
Yes. And I think one of the things I realized is I would come across some of the youth and they'd give me knowledge I've never come across before. And that happens because in the UAE, you have a lot of like environmental niches and a lot of the things are not documented. And so you come across a lot of valuable knowledge from just different individuals.
Let's get into today's topic for this podcast, because we want to talk to you about how ecosystem restoration plays a critical role in combating climate change. And essentially, that's by enhancing natural processes that regulate the Earth's climate. But I wanted to ask you to put that into simple terms for people. What's the first thing that you would say that we can all relate to?
To me, what comes to mind when thinking about environmental restoration, it's just returning the ecosystem's functions into their original format and allowing them to regulate the climate, as you said. So returning into being carbon sinks, retaining healthy water levels, as well as protecting biodiversity. So in a sense, restoration is restoring the ecosystem's functions.
So, you know, as a concept, I think it's very approachable to people. You want to restore what the ecosystem used to look like or should look like, right? In a sense.
Yes.
So, you know, some of the methods used to enhance ecosystem restoration that you know, we talk a great deal about them are mangroves here in the UAE.
Yes.
Especially here at Naturally Educated, we love mangroves. We love kayaking where mangroves are. And, you know, one of the terms related to mangroves that we use often and hear often is carbon sequestration, right?
Yes.
So from your perspective, can you explain to us the terms and its impact on different ecosystems?
Yes. So basically, one of the most important benefits of ecosystem restoration is carbon sequestration. And that is because healthy ecosystems like mangrove forests and wetlands act as carbon sinks.
Mm-hmm.
They absorb carbon dioxide from the atmosphere and store it in the biomass and soil. Mangroves in particular can store up to 4 or 5 times the carbon as that of a typical tropical forest,
mm-hmm.
making them especially valuable in climate mitigation. When we restore these ecosystems, what we're essentially doing is restoring one of nature's most efficient tools of carbon sequestration. And that's what makes like mangrove restoration quite important.
Mm-hmm.
A completely natural function that is so important. I mean, it's so key in these kind of carbon-aware times that we live in as well. Time to talk about how restoring ecosystems enhances biodiversity and really ecosystem resilience as well. It always amazes me how resilient nature can be. But the thing to get across, I think, to people is that we need to make that little bit of extra effort. Climate change increases the impact on resiliency. And if we're trying to restore ecosystems, we have to be able to find the balance in order to buffer climate change. I guess what I'm asking is, what are the kinds of things that we should all be doing, or should we all be aware of, Aliasia?
I would say in the context of biodiversity conservation, as much as these ecosystems are resilient, we are pushing their biological limits. And so degraded ecosystems do lose species far more easily than healthy ones, and which disrupts the pollination processes, food chains, as well as the overall health of the ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
And when we restore these ecosystems, we create a healthy environment for these native species to return to and be able to sustain their overall function.
You know, one thing I've noticed, what comes with urban development or, you know, building new areas for humans to live is that sometimes we miss the part where we need to also keep in mind the nature that is around us. You know, on the topic where the importance of regulating local and global climate comes in, the importance of greening urban areas is actually important, right?
Yes, because these green spaces are actually part of the ecosystem services that are provided, because not only are they beneficial for the overall area, but they also provide services such as clean air, and they do play such an essential part in the well-being of the people around them.
Mm-hmm.
So having pollinators, they also provide pest control. And yeah, so a lot of these are quite invisible, I would say, to a regular person, but you do benefit from green spaces far more than you actually think or mm-hmm. you can observe.
And I guess here in the UAE as well, that's really important. The cooling effect of green spaces is particularly important. So shade is provided, but also if you have green spaces, you're releasing moisture, aren't you, into the atmosphere?
Yes, you are releasing moisture, and these particles are capable of storing some of the heat in the atmosphere, which leads into a more cooling effect for the surrounding areas.
Let me ask you a little bit about the practice of climate adaptation strategies, how ecosystem restoration can help communities to adapt to climate change, you know, protecting them from natural hazards. For example, and I guess a really good example here, and tell me if I'm wrong, you know, controlled planting of mangroves is a great example of that here in the UAE.
Yes, it provides a great deal of coastal protection mm-hmm. when you restore coastal ecosystems. And it helps stabilizing in shorelines, and it protects infrastructures from any storm impacts as well. And so, yes, they do play an essential part in climate adaptation.
You know, one thing I learned about sustainability when I studied in university about the topic is sustainability is not only environmental sustainability, but also economical, also social sustainability. And, you know, the clash of these often leads us to not progressing towards, you know, the goal that we all aspire to. I want us to touch on promoting sustainable development through restoring ecosystems for community benefit.
Yes, I do agree. Ecosystem restoration is not just an environmental action. It's a development strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And so communities benefit in very real and long-term ways in places that rely on nature-based industries like fishing, tourism, and agriculture. Restoration helps rebuild the natural foundations that those livelihoods depend on, especially in more vulnerable regions, so the tropical islands and such. So over time, this contributes to better public health, food security, and economic resilience. So especially in arid regions like the UAE as well, where salination and erosion can devastate both land and livelihoods of people living in these regions.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And one prime example, correct me if I'm wrong, but you know, when it comes to fishing, is the mangroves. So as I mentioned, we love to talk about mangroves.
Yeah.
the fact that these trees, right, provide such kind of collateral benefits, if you may, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So the mangrove ecosystem actually provides nurseries for these fisheries, which is quite the benefit. It's a wholesome benefit to the mangrove ecosystem. But yeah, it does play a vital role in fishing communities as well around the world, not just in the UAE.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that we bring up quite often on this podcast, actually, the mangrove is the miracle plant, and also the plant that Abdurrahman spends his time among at the weekends kayaking. As well, I can share that. But it's an amazing thing. There's something else, and you kind of half mentioned this just now, Asia, that I'm interested in. You know, we're in very much in a desert environment. It's a tough environment. It's an arid environment. But I'm interested in soil restoration and carbon capture back in soil. And I wonder if you can kind of explain something again, you know, how restoring soil health helps reduce CO2 levels, and I guess that also means that it stores moisture better as well if soil health is good.
Yes, so generally when you have degraded soil, mm-hmm. and this happens through either erosion, overuse, or loss of organic matter, it actually starts releasing carbon into the atmosphere.
Right.
But when we restore the soil health using methods like composting, agroforestry, or replanting with native species, we increase its organic carbon content. Mm. This means the soil starts to function like a carbon sink again. And this basically, what it does is drawing carbon dioxide from the atmosphere and locking it away in a stable form. So healthy soil is more than just fertile. It's also like a powerful climate solution that is often overlooked.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a brilliant insight. You know, here's a term that has been around almost as long as Tim has. we heard a lot for ages about reducing greenhouse gas emissions, right?
Yeah.
The fact that the more toxins we pump into our natural environment, the more damage we do. As simple as that. It's unfortunately a vicious cycle. And as you mentioned earlier, when ecosystems are degraded, they often become sources of greenhouse gas emissions as well, right?
Yes, yes. And this happens is because they're not able to retain their actual functions, and so they're not able to retain all the carbon within them. So when you restore their natural function, they're able to retain all the carbon dioxide, keep it in a stable form, and basically stops them from being a new source of carbon emissions.
Mm-hmm.
It all kind of seems pretty simple on the surface, doesn't it? I mean, what kinds of things should we be doing, Aliasha, at a really simple level? What can we all do to, you know, I don't know, increase soil health, to reduce gas, greenhouse gas emissions? Should we just be, I don't know, driving less? Is it down to just taking public transport more? I mean, what can we all do?
I think on an individual level, we can just be more mindful of our daily practices. I think something I implement in my daily life is just being more mindful with purchases, transportation means, basically going for environmentally friendly options as much as possible, maybe not going out for cruising for hours for no reason. Just these bare minimum daily practices can do a huge difference on the long term.
Mm-hmm. That's brilliant. You know, one of the areas of discussion quite often on this podcast is the acronym SDG, which refers to the Sustainable Development Goals. You know, I personally has participated in some of the discussions at the UN, actually. I was lucky enough to go there for an internship with the UAE mission. But, you know, I was super inspired. I learned about the 17 development goals, or sustainable development goals specifically, which are set a set of global targets, basically, adopted by the United Nations in 2015. And the aim is to address a wide range of issues by 2030, which is not that far. these goals, of course, they aim to transform our world by ending poverty, inequality, and climate change, while at the same time ensuring that all people enjoy health, justice, and prosperity, which is a great ideal to look for. So the thing is, these goals are interconnected, and they aim to achieve a balance between economic growth, social inclusion, and environmental protection, which is the right way to go forward, right? From your perspective, Eliasia, I'd really like to discuss with you how to contribute to achieving several of the SDGs, the ones that are most relevant, perhaps, to what we're talking about today. Specifically, I'm talking about SDG 6, which is clean water and sanitation, SDG 13, which is climate action, SDG 14, which is life below water, and finally, SDG 15, which is life on land.
Yes. So I think when it comes to the SDGs, it's good to keep in mind that these are goals that you can aspire to follow as much as possible. And especially in countries like the UAE, where all of these are actually being actionable, what you can do is try to implement as much as possible of them, slowly but surely, like we can progress towards a more sustainable community.
It's a question of momentum, isn't it, to keep it in mind? And that's kind of one of the last questions that I wanted to ask you. And it's kind of your opinion. As a young person, somebody who caught the green bug young, how can we best kind of highlight the importance of maintaining vital ecosystems for ecological, economic, and cultural sustainability? You know, the importance in community, as you kind of highlighted there. What do we need to do? Is it direct action? Is it awareness? Is it teaching it in schools? Should there be more of an environmental education? Or I suppose it's probably all of those at once, isn't it? What do you think?
Yes, Tim, I do agree. It's a mixture of all of these things at once. But okay. A good starting point would be raising environmental awareness so people would have a connection to things they know and understand. And I don't think it's a surprise that to people that especially the Emirati population here is quite close to its ecosystem, whether that be the ocean, deserts, or mountains. So generally having people understand these ecosystems, their biodiversity, their functions would make them feel more connected to them and hence encourage them to protect them on the long term.
That's exactly how it should be. Last question for today's episode. And honestly, this question we're asking everyone on the season of Naturally Educated, Eliasia. Also from your perspective, the importance of the steps the UAE is taking to ensure ecosystem restoration efforts and to provide a healthy environment for future generations.
Oh, yes. The UAE is taking huge steps when it comes to environmental protection in general, and even taking bigger steps in the implementation of technology and AI, restoring environmental ecosystems. And so I would say theory almost makes it too easy to be environmentally friendly. So whether your interest is restoration, biodiversity protection, so on and so forth, there's something for everyone to be part of the environmental protection and ensuring a greener future for everyone.
I'm leaving today's conversation, Aliasia, feeling positive. And I have a big smile on my face. Aliasia Alshehi is a data ecologist in environmental restoration and research, a former member of Ajman Youth Council. Thank you very much for talking to us on Naturally Educated.
Thank you, Aliasia.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure talking to you both.
Ecosystem restoration to mitigate, combat climate change. That's our theme for this episode in season 5 of Naturally Educated with a former member of Ajman's Youth Council. And she's now a data ecologist in environmental restoration and research, Aliasia Shuhi.
Thank you once again, by the way, to Aliasia for joining us too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It was great to hear the passion behind what she does, you know, and someone so young too.
Mm.
You know what interested me the most? It's not all doom and gloom, if you know what I mean. There's so much to do, but there's so much we're doing as well and that we can do.
You're quite right, actually. And Aliasia kind of mentioned that towards the end of the podcast. There's so much being done here in the UAE. And I think that's really important to get across. I mean, we're heading towards the IUCN World Conservation Congress in Abu Dhabi in October. And our theme this season is kind of linked to that, isn't it? And I suppose the trajectory is kind of simple, really. You know, if we work on ecosystem restoration, we can help combat climate change. It's really that easy.
Exactly, Tim. It's about getting the relationships right, getting them balanced as they should be, I guess. If we look after ecological functions and biodiversity, we can do a lot to mitigate the effects of climate change. There's honestly so much to learn.
there absolutely is. There's something in every episode, you know, Abdurrahman, that kind of stands out. And do you know what stood out for me this time? And you've already mentioned it. It was just with Aliasia, it was passion there. She caught the bug really young. She's decided that this is going to be the course of her life. And she said really early on, and she was very kind of matter of fact about it, which I kind of like actually, because it was no messing. It was, you know, what I do for my living is I collect environmental data. That's what she does. Mm-hmm. And she does research. But she's also thinking, kind of on the other hand, I want to use this research to do good. And that's, you know, that's kind of a perfect relationship, isn't it? That's a balance.
Absolutely is. You know what else honestly stood out to me is her relationship with this passion. Mm-hmm. And how she draws from starting with her name, for instance, that connects to nature directly. Yeah. But also her push. I personally connect to that as well, or relate to that. The push that, you know, if you want to get something done, you got to go and get it yourself, do it yourself. The fact that she was part of the Ajman Youth Council, participated at COP 28, etc. You know, these are things that kind of informs you about the person and how much they're willing to pursue their goals.
Absolutely right. I saw a story, I think it was Arnold Schwarzenegger last week, talking to, it was a European, it might have been the BBC, I can't remember, but he just said, look, if you want to do something about climate change, stop talking about it, do something. And it's that kind of attitude, I think. I'm not saying Aliasia's like Arnold Schwarzenegger, but her approach is, I wanted to do something. And I think that's really refreshing. The other thing is I learned what Aliasia means. So double victory in the podcast today, Abdurrahman.
That's great.
Right then, that's it for this episode, How Ecosystem Restoration Can Help Combat Climate Change. My name's Tim Elliott.
And I'm Abdurrahman Zahabi. Join us again soon for more in season 5 of the Environment Agency, Abu Dhabi's Naturally Educated podcast.